Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. And as the theme songs basically portrayed to you, this is about business in the Lehigh Valley, and we extend that a little bit. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about business development in one of our major cities here in the Lehigh Valley, and that's going to be the city of Easton. With me this evening in the studio is Dawn Ferrante, who is the Director of Economic and Community Development. Welcome, Dawn.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Dawn and I know each other from a couple iterations of roles and responsibilities, but this is her first time for coming on to the show. Before I introduce Dawn to you formally and give you her background, I want to talk a little bit about the history of Easton, because I think most people don't realize that Easton is probably one of our more historic cities, along with Bethlehem, as far as when it was founded and activities. But actually, 279 years ago, or 1736, the thousand-acre tract, or what the Indians called it, the Place of the Forks, was surveyed by Thomas Penn, who is the son of William Penn. This tract included what we know today as Lehigh and Northampton counties. Lehigh County was separated from Northampton County in 1812. Officially, Northampton County was founded, though, on March 6th of 1752, and Easton was the county seat, and that happened shortly thereafter. The first courthouse was built in the Great Square, an area known as Center Square, in 1765, and an area that is still popular today in downtown Easton. On July 8th, 1776, the Great Square was the site for one of the only three readings of the Declaration of Independence. And that was reenacted this past weekend. It was Heritage Weekend, and Dawn's going to talk a little bit about that with us. The Great Square has been the site of the Outdoor Farmers Market as well, which is probably the longest continuously running Outdoor Farmers Market, because it's been in existence since 1791, or 218 years, and it's a fantastic, we'll talk a little bit about that as well, but it's a fantastic farmer's market. Some of the unusual facts, according to citydata.com, Easton is 15 on the list of top 100 cities with old houses but young residents. Thought that was pretty interesting. And number 36 on the list of top 100 cities with oldest houses. And Easton has 30 bridges. I don't think I'd want to be the public works department in Easton. Dawn, welcome again. And
thank you.
Please share with our listeners, if you could, a little bit of your background, because you've sort of moved around a bit and done different things, and I think you bring a unique perspective to economic and community development.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm actually originally from California, and grew up there and went to school there, lived in San Francisco for 10 years, and graduated actually with a degree in media production. I started my own business there. So I was an entrepreneur for about 5 years.
Okay.
And basically did web development and marketing and consulting, and that was during the first dot-com boom.
The early part.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also went through the bust as well. But
yeah, we all did.
Yeah, yeah. And then I went on to go into a traditional sort of IT consulting, and started with KPMG, and then went to a few other firms over the next 10, 12 years. And those roles took me sort of steadily eastward.
Okay.
So when I was in San Francisco, started working on a project that was based out of Denver for the local utility there. And then I rolled off of that project and was relocated to Denver. And then they put me on a project that was in New Jersey. So after I relocated to Denver, they started flying me to New Jersey. And I did that for about 5 years. And I finally said, Uncle, I don't want to
travel.
Road warrior is, overrated and not glamorous. It's a tough. So I said, I really need to move. And they needed me on the East Coast, and so they relocated me to New Jersey. So, again, it's been, this kind of I just followed my career.
Okay. So, and then you got into community and economic development in Carbon County.
Yeah. So the story there is I met a man who was working in New York City and I was working in New Jersey. He grew up in Palmerton.
Okay.
And so that's the connection there. We got married, had two children, have since divorced. But after I had my second child, I actually resigned from consulting because
yeah.
I didn't want to be away from my children.
Sure.
So I was sort of trying to figure out what to do and went through the leadership. So there was a Leadership Carbon program similar mm-hmm. to the program here in the Lehigh Valley, Leadership Lehigh Valley. And one of the sessions was about government, and I met one of the commissioners of Carbon County, and he said, I told him about my background, and he said, you know, our economic development director is going to be retiring in January. I think you'd be really good for that job. And I said, what's economic development? I mean, it was
foreign at that point.
I'd never even heard of it.
Okay.
But of course, I went home and Googled it. And it was so fascinating. It had a lot of aspects of the consulting world that I had come from the business side. It was community-based, and I just had two children. So it was like, wow, I could actually work in the community that I live, because I'd never done that. I'd always flown away from
sure.
it. So to be able to actually impact something locally was so appealing. And then it had the real estate elements to it, and I had been thinking about, I'd actually gotten my real estate license, and I was thinking about doing some development on my own. Mm-hmm. And so it just, all these things kind of fit, and it was like, yeah,
there's a name
that.
For all this pulled
yeah,
together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And so I interviewed and got the job. And it was a great place to start, you know, my economic development career. A lot of challenges, but it was very hands-on and kind of, you know, local economic development is at that level, similar to where I'm at now, you know, with the city, is very engaging, and it's busy and it's fast paced and every day is different. And I just love it. I got hooked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is. And it's the economic development or the community and economic development portion is just so critical to all of our locations, whether it's a city, a borough, whatever. It's, you know, trying to keep a viable community, and it's the business base and it's the activity base
yeah.
that does that.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I struggled with in Carbon, and, you know, to some extent, you know, that's interesting to kind of talk about the philosophical side of economic development, because it can seem so huge,
mm-hmm.
and it's so... kind of depends on who you're talking to as to what they think economic development should be. But I think economic developers themselves kind of agree that it's increasing the quality of life. But again, I mean, how much bigger of a statement could you say?
Right.
Do you want to just boil the ocean? I
yeah.
mean, it's like, I mean, oh my God, where do you begin? And again, everyone's interpretation is a little bit different. So, but what we've always, I think, what good economic developers recognize is that you just look at the assets for your community. So regardless of where I was, you know, where I'm working, you just want to take a look at what are the gems?
Mm-hmm.
How do I shine them brighter? And how do I find the ones that are sort of hidden
right.
that I can help expose? So,
well, there was a book that I read a long time ago by Robert Rodale called The Regeneration of a Community. And he, through the Rodale Institute, had done a lot of studies and had been engaged and actually on the West Coast, someplace in Oregon, and as well as Denver, he had done some work. But what his philosophy was, and this sort of stuck with me since the 80s, and that is you work from the positive.
Absolutely.
You're never going to fill all the holes of the negative, but if you work from the positive and really expand them, they begin to cover over the negatives in a community. So it's, you know, if you keep on sort of ranting against what's wrong, nothing ever is going to change. But if you look at what's good and you build it and promote it,
absolutely,
it'll turn into a real gem.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So so he was ahead of his time. I really liked a lot of his philosophies. Well, let's get on to Easton now.
Okay.
Easton is interesting because it's the smaller of the three mm-hmm. major cities of the Lehigh Valley. Obviously one of the older ones, although Bethlehem was 1745 compared to 1754 or whatever. But it has some interesting components mm-hmm. to it. And I don't know, how many people have really taken the time to explore Easton, especially if they're from the western part of the Lehigh Valley. So let's talk about, there's neighborhoods that we hear about. What are the neighborhoods of the Easton community?
Yeah, well, there are, and I'm getting to know them myself, too. So I can kind of give a high level, but I'm digging down and, you know, as I'm there. But there are four, and College Hill, the downtown, the West Ward, and the South Side. So, you know, College Hill has traditionally been kind of the more affluent area of the city, and big houses on
the big old houses that they were talking about in that.
Yeah, the Victorians on the smaller lots, and then of course, you know, Lafayette College is there, and that has a huge influence on that community. But what I've also found is that's a very tight community. All of them are, but you know, if you sort of live on the hill, you know, you're in the club. So we're actually looking at a house on the hill. So I've found a lot of club members that are ready to welcome me, which is great. And then the downtown, you know, the downtown, it's, I think its greatest asset has been its historic assets. And those have been, you know, the Main Street program is one of the best in the country and has been recognized.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the folks that are there have been there for, you know, quite some time, working at the grassroots level. And, you know, the blocks right there around Center Square have steadily improved over the years. And it's been a slow climb. It's not something that happens overnight. And, you know, it's been a lot of roll up your sleeves, hard work, and kind of pounding the pavements and working with the building owners and working on the facades. And it's just one by one, you kind of keep picking them off. And when you can't, you know, when you can't change the ones that you can't get to particular owners, you just got to wait it out. And I see a lot of that. But a lot of those downtown storefronts are, you know, the vacancies used to be much higher than they were, and I think there's just a, you know, few now. Yeah. So that transformation has been pretty amazing. And then the other neighborhoods are that we sort of talk about and identify with are the West Ward, and we can talk more about that because I have some specific. There's a lot of talk about it, and so there's a lot more to say about the West Ward. But the other area is the South Side, which is our, you know, there's a gateway there from 78. So that's had a lot of growth from folks commuting. So they tend to live, they've tended to settle in that area.
Okay.
So,
I remember when I first moved back to the Valley, I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I came back. Easton, and this was probably 1974 time frame. Easton was on the verge of coming back, and it's just, it's been since 74 that it sort of had some fits and starts, but it seems like it's really now it's solid.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the Main Street program and the efforts that have continuously been out there pushing.
Yep. It's just, like I said, it's kind of been a continuous, consistent chipping away at the challenges. And, you know, that's the other piece of economic development, too, that I think is important to recognize. And it was hard for me to adjust to coming from the private sector. And I see it when I deal with business owners now. You know, they get frustrated because they say, why can't you just change this? You know, in my business, if that doesn't work, I just change it. And it's like, well, yeah, I remember those days. You know, but you can't. It doesn't change overnight. You can't just snap your fingers. All this community work is such a, you know, it's an orchestration of so many different entities.
It's got a lot of tentacles.
It does.
That, you know, you've got to make sure that you get everybody going in the same direction, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, I used to say, you know, in carbon, at least, it felt like I was spinning plates. You know, I have like 10 of them, and you get one going, and then you get the next one going, and then you get to the end, and the other one at the other end is like about ready to wobble and fall. You got to run back and keep that one. You know, that's how it feels. So, but it's fun.
Listeners, I should add, in case you didn't realize this, Dawn is new to the position in Easton. You started June 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so as she said, she's getting to know Easton, but definitely using the background that she got both at Carbon and through Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation.
Yep. I did a brief stopover at LVEDC, which about 16 months, which I was very you know, grateful for. It gave me such a, you know, really was interested in the regional approach to economic development, and both are really important, the local and the regional. I mean, I see the benefit of both. And, you know, Don Cunningham and his crew are working on the bigger stuff, mm-hmm. and that's important. And, you know, the local guys were working at the ground level. So
yeah,
both are necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to go forward. We have to work together, though, to get there. Don, you had mentioned when you were talking about the neighborhoods that there's an important aspect. I mean, in an urban environment, neighborhoods sort of take on a life of their own, like if you're from the Hill or you're from the South Side or the West Ward. Why do you think that is? I mean, we're mm-hmm. focusing on Easton, but if, you know, you've got Fishtown in Philadelphia and you've got Soho in New York. And what is it about urban development and neighborhoods that you've been able to assess? Why is this so important, and how does it help or how does it hinder development?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. And it's funny, when I moved to San Francisco way back, I had grown up in a rural area, you mm-hmm. know, similar to kind of Carbon County, you know, but it was in the mountains in California, but very small town. And I remember when I was going to move to San Francisco, I remember thinking, I don't understand how there can be a Castro district and then you just cross over one street and you're in the Western Addition. Like, I couldn't get my mind around it. It's like, what do you mean the Haight-Ashbury? Like, what does that mean? Like, where does it stop?
Yeah, how were the definitions?
Yeah, like, do you go through a gate? You know, I mean, I just couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until I lived there that I got it. And it's just this, there's just a vibe that is different in each of the areas. And I know that even sounds, you know, amorphous. It's like there's just a thing.
Well, and I think if I go back historically and look at South Side of Bethlehem, mm-hmm. there were ethnic communities that developed because of a level of comfort, speaking the same language, having the same religion, the same food.
Absolutely.
And so, and again, you would have neighborhoods that were, you know, maybe a couple blocks and across the street was, you know, the Polish neighborhood. And then there was the Italian neighborhood or whatever. And so maybe part of that
similar,
is
similar. Yeah, similar people grouped together.
Right.
Yeah. If you look like me and you sound like me, let's all live together, you know. I mean, it makes sense, and mm-hmm. that's exactly how it was in San Francisco. So, but I didn't. It was hard to get my mind around when you come from a suburban or a rural area.
Yeah.
So, but I think the big attraction for me in coming to Easton and why I jumped at the opportunity to interview for the role was because I was so ready to get back to that, you know, kind of San Francisco vibe mm-hmm. or that city vibe. But I, you know, I couldn't move to Philadelphia because my children are here and couldn't, you know, I love New York and Philadelphia, but couldn't live there at this point in my life. And so Easton is such a great alternative. It's such a cool, you know, that some people call it the little apple, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of got, it's a smaller, it's got that urban vibe.
It does. And it has a lot of people from the city that you know, have congregated there and have made neighborhoods and are moving the city forward and bringing a creativity and a life that the city didn't have before.
Yep.
Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break, and we'll talk more with our guest, Don Ferrante, Director of Economic and Community Development for Easton, after this short break. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY.
Have you recently received a letter in the mail asking you to renew your WDIY membership? If so, we need to hear from you today. It's your member support that allows us to bring you NPR news, local public affairs, and handpicked music every day of the week. Please send us your check with the included reply envelope, and we thank you.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9, on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hamlin for Lehigh Valley Discourse. And this evening, we're talking with Dawn Ferrante, who is Director of Economic and Community Development for the City of Easton. And we were just talking about Easton, its neighborhoods, and how the city geographically is. But now I'd like to talk a little bit more about the business structure of the city. And, you know, because Easton is a different size city than Allentown, Bethlehem, you know, how is it structured? How does city administration work, and what are the departments, and how do you work with them, Dawn, from your position?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because, the mayor's cabinet is made up of all the directors. So, but at his first staff meetings, the thing that I had never had experience with was I was sitting across the table from the chief of police and the chief of the fire department. So that was the first time that I've had those kinds of interactions with department heads. I mean, we didn't interact that way with, you know, in Carbon County. So it was a new experience for me to kind of have guys in uniform with, you know, sitting there. And but the other department heads are, you know, just the you know, HR and public works, codes. We currently have planning and codes were together, and then they split them out. And actually, at one point, planning and economic development were also together.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. But they split those out as well. And so we're currently without our planning director. I think that they're coming to the very tail end of deciding on someone for that role. So I'll be very much looking forward to that role being filled, because that's a partner. That's my partner in crime, you know,
right.
Planning. So.
Right.
So that, and then we have a city administrator, and that is actually who we all report to.
Okay.
And then city council. So.
All right. So, and city council basically is more just the legislative, and you're the daily operations under the city administrator.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it would seem to me that, quite honestly, all the people that you mentioned are very important to your role.
They are.
Because if you do something with economic development, obviously planning, zoning, code are all part of that. But HR, you know, you've got to work with people in other departments, make sure. So everybody really, is it a team? Has the mayor been able to pull together a pretty good team?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody, and, you know, government, and I'm not whining, but government can be challenging. I mean, you get a lot of people who can be very disgruntled, and sometimes it can, you know, you feel a little beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having a conversation with someone, and they were complaining about codes, and, you know, it's onerous and it's heavy and it's, you know, and I said, you know what, let me just stop you for a second. I hear what you're saying. I acknowledge what you're saying, and we're not perfect, but let me just back up and say there are, you know, I think the mayor and the city administrator have made some interesting decisions over the last few years regarding some of the directors that are there. And I know that the folks that I interact with are pretty progressive in their thinking. And, you know, some of the newer department heads are in their 30s and 40s and are, you know, I think we are all pretty dedicated to public service, and we do it because we really are choosing to do it, and we really want to be there, and we want to change the culture. And that's it's hard to do that, because very often you're faced with HR challenges that you just can't undo, and it's not the private sector.
You can't just make a decision
and
have something happen. Yeah,
right.
I had worked for one of the cities early on in my career when I moved back from Pittsburgh, and I think probably the challenging part was everybody thought that they were my boss because they paid taxes.
Yes.
And so no matter what I did, I was always wrong because someone didn't like what I was doing. But if you try to work towards the greater good. And a lot of times when you have a vested interest in something, it's hard for you to lose that interest to rise above it and see how in the long run, by maybe changing just a little bit,
yeah, Yeah, well, you know, what I try to, and maybe this is overly naive, I don't know, but I said to somebody the other day, listen, we really are, I know it doesn't seem like it, but we really are doing the best we can. Like, mm-hmm. we really are, there's a lot of effort going on and behind the scenes. So it's not that I don't want to hear the criticism. It's not that the criticism isn't warranted. But I think that there are folks there that really care, and they're trying to move what sometimes seems like the Titanic. It mm-hmm. really does. Mm-hmm. So, but again, economic development and government change is not, it doesn't happen slowly. Or it doesn't happen quickly, excuse me. It's very, you kind of chip away at right. it, you know. And you come every day, and you do the best you can, and you keep chipping.
Yeah. So one of the things, and listeners, if you have an opportunity to express a concern to your city administration or city representatives, one of the things that I always felt was really important, and I appreciate it, was there may be a concern or a challenge, but suggest something.
Yeah.
You know, just don't drop the problem.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
give some thought to it and say, if you were in that position, how would you handle it, knowing that there's other pieces that you've got to work with? It's, yeah, I admire anybody that goes into, especially public office where you're elected, but even, you know, where you get a position in the public.
Yeah.
It's just very demanding.
They are, and also there's a lot of, and to be frank, you know, there's a lot of, I think people are very, you know, disillusioned with government, and it can seem like, you know, it's just a lot of self-interest, mm-hmm. And it can seem like a pretty heavy, you know, just the way that we're organized, but it's the best thing we got going on the planet, and it's got to be the mechanism that we work through.
Absolutely.
We have to continue to try and make it better.
And continuous improvement. I mean, that's what private industry does.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be years ago that if it's not broken, don't fix it. But that doesn't work anymore because the world is changing too fast. So you've got to continuously look, and quite honestly, feedback that you get from people, regardless of whether it's complaining or positive, it's feedback.
Yeah.
And sometimes, absent of that, you don't know where you are.
Right.
You know, so at least you get that.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing on that too, that you saying that made me think of is, you know, so many people don't show up for city council meetings, and you know, we talk through all of these issues, and I hear the mayor and you know talking about you know. City council and this program or project or whatever we're doing, and he gets so, you know, there's so much feedback that comes through social media and electronically, and I think that's very valuable. I think that's important, but I also think that there's still a mechanism to have this face-to-face conversation, and so many people don't take advantage of it.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's crickets.
Yeah.
Like, nobody shows up.
And it's a shame because, you know, just like with most things, if you have the opportunity to be face-to-face, you see a better picture than if you're just texting something and coming from your own point of view.
Well, it's a person.
Yes.
You're looking at, you know, eyeball to eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the interaction.
It sure does. It,
and again, I am technology girl. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. I mean, I came from the IT world. I mean, I my kids are computer goobers, geeks, and so I have nothing against technology, but at the same time, I think the human interaction, it can really separate us, and there is the opportunity to connect on that human level, mm-hmm. With government and people. You know, I know people are busy. I mean, I get it. I'm busy too. Like, I totally get it, but those meetings are held for a reason.
Yeah, and if there's something you're concerned about, then, you know, maybe you need to think about making time.
Show up.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk more specifically about your role, because you wear a couple hats, just like you did in Carbon. I remember in Carbon you were switching them all the time. But what are the three primary areas, Dawn, that you're working with in this new position?
Yeah, so I am... hired through the city, obviously, as the director, and then I also oversee our nonprofit economic development corporation, which is the Greater Easton Development Partnership, or GEDP.
Okay.
And that organization is made up of Main Street, the Farmers Market, and the Ambassadors. So there are 6 people in that organization.
Okay.
And then I also am the executive director for the Redevelopment Authority, and there are 3 people in that organization. And then there's one other person that is also a city employee, so there's 2 of us,
mm-hmm.
And she's an economic development coordinator. So, you know, it's kind of a, we refer to it as the toolbox. It's
right.
Our toolbox. And I actually, it's been challenging kind of figuring out the my roles in these organizations and how that fits with the city. But it's also, I like having my fingers in those other pies.
Well, and they all are very much interactive with each other.
They
and
are.
You have to be communicating.
They are. They are. And, you know, I think that's part of our challenge going forward is to sort of see those 3 entities as one cohesive team.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing a lot of work internally and organizationally around that, and kind of urging folks to think of, you know, the other folks in these other organizations as their siblings or their family. We're all on the same team.
Right.
And how we interact and how we can create efficiencies amongst the group is mm-hmm. really important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of what I'm doing right now. I think if I could sort of, you know, my predecessor came from real estate development, and that was her, you know, her
emphasis on her.
Yeah, that was sort of that era. I kind of see it as very much a, you know, she did some amazing things with the silk mill and some industrial and a lot of redevelopment properties. You know, my background is much more in the entrepreneurial and the business side of
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have much more organizational, I'm attracted to that more. And so it sort of feels natural for me to be helping these organizations from a kind of internal standpoint, because we're at an interesting stage. Easton is, in a lot of ways, it's grown very organically.
Mm-hmm.
It has come grassroots up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at a point with all these programs and with these organizations where we kind of need to grow up a little.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to
formalize.
We need to evolve, mm-hmm. is probably a better way of saying it.
Well, you're maturing,
right?
You know, it's
maturing.
just like the business stages.
Yeah.
You've got the startup, and then you know mm-hmm. you keep going from stage to stage. And Easton's been at this a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there's a lot of that going on. I feel like it's not sexy work. Like there's no ribbons and balloons. It's like, you know, job descriptions and I mean it's
all
just,
the internal structure.
It's internal. Yeah, it's, you know, we're developing a strategic plan for GEDP, and you know that's just talking about, you know, our value proposition, who knows us, you know, there's some brand, some marketing mm-hmm. challenges there because it's kind of an unknown entity. I think people know the Main Street program. They know the Farmers Market program. People are familiar with the ambassadors, the people in, you know, the red shirts who
mm-hmm.
go around and kind of, you know, clean up and help do and help with a lot of interaction in the community. But they don't realize that those 3 organizations or those 3 entities fall under the umbrella of GEDP.
Yeah.
And so... So it's, you know, it's kind of a little bit of identity crisis and a lot of work to be done, but it's the work I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So
and it's moving forward.
It is. It
you
is.
You know, even though, you know, some of this stuff, this internal structuring stuff doesn't seem that important, when it's in place and when things are documented, boy, you can just sort of light up and go quickly.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm kind of looking at, is that, you know, the next couple of years again are going to be this sort of retooling,
mm-hmm.
making sure we've got the right people on the bus and the right seats and all that stuff, but then also creating a map and a plan for where we're going to go
and making sure you've got all your tools in place in your box so that when somebody comes in, you have everything together and can show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not easy work to do. And as you said, it's not sexy, it's not glittery, but, you know, it has to be done.
Yep.
However, there are projects that you are still, you know, that Easton is announcing and doing some ribbon cutting and all the kind of stuff. So why don't you share with our listeners some of the more recent things that have been happening?
Yeah. Well, we've got, I think the biggest, one of the biggest things is that the silk mill is really ending. It's really, well, our involvement with it from a city perspective is coming to an end.
So your phase of the development.
Yes,
okay.
Which was all the infrastructure and the streets, the street that goes through the development. And so that is all really being handed over to the developer. And he, Mark Mulligan and VM Development is then going to take, you know, to start working
it's
on.
It's going to rise up.
Yep. Yep, the next phases, which is the development of all the condos and the residential units, the commercial aspects, and I mean it's going to be such a cool place. I want to live there myself. I mean, it's so
now I'm
cool.
Trying to think, and this may be unfair, but is it on 13th Street?
Yes,
it's down by the where Pfizer used to be down.
All right. So when you get off the 13th Street exit, you go left. There.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, underneath the
over 22.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, so silk is exciting, but there are other things. We're building a new city hall, which is major.
Easton has needed that for so long. I'm sorry, but I used to go to city hall, and I'm thinking this really isn't the city hall.
it's very quaint, you know. It's but yeah. Again, we're to the point where we're ready to evolve, and the new city hall is certainly. You know, it's very modern and...
in the same vicinity as...
Yeah, it's just
down the street.
One block.
Okay.
One block away. And then that's got a new parking garage in it. And, you know, we, as the other cities in the Lehigh Valley, are super challenged from a parking perspective. So that's going to hopefully alleviate some of that pressure downtown. And then we've got some other things that we, you know, have our eyes on from an industrial perspective. There are some large industrial sites over on the south side that we are keeping an eye on, and there's a couple of developers that are interested in that. And we just added a trolley.
The comes
downtown.
Underneath you?
Yeah.
All right, listeners, I'm going to ask you to hang in there with us. We're going to find out what this trolley is all about. I know that there are some other downtowns that are envious of the trolley. But we'll talk more with Dawn Ferrante, our guest, who's the Director of Economic and Community Development for the City of Easton, after this short break. And this is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. The special focus for July is Modulator ESP of Nottingham, England. That's Thursday night at 11, right here on WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
With Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, with Dawn Ferrante, who is the Director of Economic and Community Development for the City of Easton. And before that short break, we were talking about some of the recent development and projects that Easton had. And one of the things she shared is, as a part of her department, she has a trolley. So, city trolley.
I haven't ridden on it yet, but I saw it going down the road yesterday, and it looked good.
Okay.
And well... The original concept was to, and in the concept is to, you know, help relieve, again, some of the parking challenges. Oh, wow. So it's been to sort of connect people to all the various parking decks and other, you know, parking lots, yeah, that will help, again, you know, enable people to get into the Center Square and into the festivals. But, you know, I mean, that was the thought. And so we've just tested it this past Sunday.
Oh, at the Heritage Day.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think a lot of people knew about it, but it was good for the driver to get in and, you know, figure out, you know,
the routes and all that kind of stuff.
And all that stuff.
Now,
so
it's a is there a guided tour on this?
Yeah. So the more interesting piece of it that I think, you know, that it's worth mentioning is that Easton has such a rich history that again is one of our assets. Mm-hmm. And when I look at it from an economic development perspective, it's like we really, and heritage tourism is so, and people love it. They dig that, and they will come there and seek those stories and that history out. So the more that we can do to, you know, really illuminate that, mm-hmm, the better.
Right.
So the trolley will actually have a number of stops on it. So on Friday nights, it'll run from 5 to 10. And then on Saturday, we'll start in the morning for the farmer's market at 9. But then after the farmer's market ends at 1, the rest of the evening up until 10 o'clock again will be a historic tour.
So
there will be stops, and it'll be narrated by Mayor Panto.
Oh, that's great.
He was working on his script earlier this week. It's so cute. It's great. So, you know, you get to hear his voice, and we thought there's actually a video monitor on it, and so there was some, you know, discussion of some other images and stuff that we could add to it. But they're, you know, working out all the timing and everything.
Well, you've got to start somewhere.
Well, it's going to be an opportunity to get on an air-conditioned vehicle, which is kind of good right now,
right,
and go around and hear some interesting tidbits. So
yeah,
it is. It's the beginning. We've also talked about adding some walking tours, and there's some discussion of that and a few different groups that I'm trying to get together to make sure we're not, you know, overlapping and stepping on each other's toes and developing something. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And you're correct. It is important that the challenge is getting the word out,
yeah,
is the marketing aspect of it, because it just, I know with some of the organizations that I've worked with, and today lives are so busy. People are just running into,
yeah,
and they're getting bombarded by so many messages. It's like, how do you get through that? How do you drill down,
yeah,
and get your message there? So
yeah,
that's great. I just love that trolley. I think that's wonderful. Now, you had mentioned about, you know, your history being part of your assets, and let's talk a little bit about some of the historical things. We talked about briefly the farmers market. I mean, mm-hmm, that's been around a long time, and the farmers market just within the last year or two went year round, correct?
Yeah. There was a winter market that was brought into the Weller Center, which is actually going to become our public market.
Okay.
And we're hoping that that's going to open this fall. So there'll be, it'll be similar to, if anyone's been to the Reading Terminal Market, mm, or, so it'll be an indoor, there'll be vendors that will, you know, have their spaces, and we've got some interesting folks that are coming in, but it's, you're going to have a butcher and a farm stand and, you know, a baker and wine and cheese. And it's going to be a really cool space. We're also going to have a commercial kitchen, a demo kitchen, where we'll be able to do some demonstration programming.
Nice.
There's going to be a children's area. So, I mean, you can come and get a glass of wine and put your kids in the children's area and watch somebody make some food. I mean,
yeah,
and buy some food. And it's going to be, it's a great concept. So we're working very diligently on that project.
That's a lot of pieces to pull together.
It
and
really
so
is.
You may have to phase in some of those,
yeah,
activities.
And that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
So, but that we're really excited about it. And yeah, the farmer's market is just, it's become such a staple that we've, I mean, it's something that we can really build on. And right. that's what these other, you know, that's what the public market has grown out of. You know, we just want to continue to support it and make sure that we don't miss a beat with mm-hmm. it. So mm-hmm. yeah. that's really the focus.
And I think, wasn't it, isn't there something Wednesday afternoon? So it's
Wednesday
not
evenings.
Wednesday
yeah.
evening. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something on Saturdays and Wednesdays.
Yep. Yep. We have a Wednesday night market as well. So okay. come down on Wednesday nights. Yeah, as well.
Yeah, great.
It's such a lively, great atmosphere. Well, you know, I mean, it's so cool. I get off work and I walk outside and it's like, wow, look
yeah,
at this.
All the energy
this
is, that
yeah,
you see down
it
there.
It is.
Yeah, a lot
is.
Of energy.
I love it. I yeah. just love it.
Now, this past weekend, I noticed in the paper that we had multiple town criers.
Yeah.
And now Easton is one of, it's the only city that in our immediate area that has an official town crier, but they pulled from other cities have them?
Yeah. Yeah. We had two, and this year the attendance was much more than last year, so we're really building, and the interest is, you know, people are, that's what's so cool is that, you know, it's like it's making history literally come alive, mm-hmm. and so many kids, you know, were there engaging and learning about history. And, you know, it was interesting. I was speaking to, actually, she's the head of our ambassador program. And she said, you know, I brought my daughter down here when, you know, she was 9, 10 years old. And we came to this festival. And she got a copy of the Declaration of Independence. And she now is in college. You know, she just went to college. And she took that piece of paper and paste, you know, took it with her and put it on her dorm room wall because she was so moved by what you know, understanding history and understanding
the importance.
Really what America is built on. So that is some good stuff. It's powerful stuff, mm-hmm. and it competes with all the other electronic. I mean, you know, again, we had huge numbers this year, bigger than ever, and you know, it was 11 to 4 o'clock event, and then it kind of shifts in the afternoon to more of kind of a little bit more of a, I would say, like a almost a fair kind of mm-hmm. feeling, you know, down along the river mm-hmm. there. But the first part of the day is really steeped in that historical background and heritage, and it's great. It's, you know, bring your family, bring your kids
yeah,
next year. If you don't do it, if you haven't done it, do it.
Yeah, it's only one day.
Yeah.
It's only the
yeah.
one day. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Now, there are some other festivals now. I have to get there this year, but the Garlic Festival,
yep.
the Bacon Festival.
Yes, yes.
All food festivals, right?
Yeah, yeah. you know, Bacon Fest now is, last year there were 55,000 people that attended that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Amazing.
The year prior to that, they ran out of bacon by, I think they said 2, and then the year before, they ran out of bacon at 11. So this year, we're going to have enough bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have bacon. So it's just, it's amazing. And the thing that is, I think, a great opportunity for us is that, you know, we bring people come in now to have these experiences on this, you know, single day. But when they get to Easton, they look around and they say, wow, this is a cool place.
Like, I didn't know this was here.
Yeah, where the heck this place come from?
Yeah.
And that's how we're really starting to increase, I think, a lot of our, you know, residential. We have a lot of residential spaces coming online in the downtown. And we're the fastest growing region in the Lehigh Valley with people from 25 to 35 years old. So we're hip. We're
yeah.
And our festivals are what, you know, draw. But again, they get there and say, I want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is cool. So I see it as the festivals are great, but they're sort of getting to the point where they're an economic development
Absolutely.
Strategy.
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, and then the other thing, and again, since I lived in Easton, I guess I think I know it, but I haven't been back there for a long time. The Riverwalk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I noticed that there was a calling for artists just recently because of, yep. I guess, a show that's going to happen.
The Arts Trail.
September?
The Carl Stirner Arts Trail.
Yeah.
yeah. What a great partnership with Lafayette.
Lafayette, you know, yeah.
yeah. I mean, and I'm on that that group, that council. And yeah, we had people could come down on Sunday, actually, in between the traditional Heritage Day and then the fair part of it, and actually come to the arts campus and have look around the facility there at different concepts to vote on to put on the trail. So I think the last count was we had about 350 votes, but you can go there today. I think they're open daily, regular business hours, and you can vote on pieces and installations that you think would be interesting to have put on the trail.
So is this basically outdoor sculpture pieces?
There are traditional sculptures. We're looking at doing some really interesting environmental kinds of technology pieces.
Oh.
Yeah, just some very and engaging the Ideal Center at Lafayette University and getting some of the engineering students involved in the development of these concepts. And, you know, we're looking at some other regions. Nothing, you steal ideas from everywhere.
Sure, everybody learns, and why reinvent the wheel?
Right. So it's going to be, I think in and of itself, the Carl Stoner Arts Trail is going to become a destination. I mean, it's cool. Mm-hmm. And so that's another real asset.
Wow. Now, we're going to be running out of time.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a lot more that we'd like to talk about, but one of the things when we started was talking about the West Ward.
Yeah.
And it's there's a lot of things happening over there, and there's a lot of concentration of people. So,
yeah.
What do you see happening there, and how's that going to be moving forward?
Well, our challenge with the West Ward is, I think it's shared by our other cities as well. There's a high concentration of rental units, 60%, and you know we've got challenges around crime and drugs and it's hard to figure that out. It's a complex issue, and there's not a silver bullet that will fix it. And so there's been so much discussion that, you know, Easton is truly, until we figure out the West Ward, Easton, you know, isn't going to be able to really kind of push even further and evolve further. So a lot of discussion, a lot of folks coming to the table with ideas. We have a Westward Neighborhood Partnership, which looks to be sunsetting. And that's been a 10-year effort, and but what we're hoping is what comes from it will be what we're looking at. We're looking at it as an opportunity to sort of reframe the conversation and bring a broader set of players to the table. And one thing that I've been talking internally about, and I'm probably going to get in trouble from the mayor, but we're going to be meeting next week to talk about a program called the Landlord Training Program. And it was actually a program that was developed in Portland, Oregon in 1989. It was funded by the Bureau of Justice, mm-hmm. through a grant. And basically, it's kind of a simple concept, but it is the reason that it works is that it's comprehensive. So basically what it is a training program. Well, let me just take a step back. It stops the assumption that people who are absentee landlords are evil and slumlords.
Okay.
So we talked to the founder of the program earlier in the week, and he said that it's not an absolute statistical certainty, but he sees it as sort of the 80-10-10 rule. 10% of your landlords are angels. They're perfect. 10% are slumlords. But the other 80% are actually people like you and I. Mm-hmm. They are looking. They're looking to for an investment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to deal with evictions. They don't want people who are engaged in criminal activity on their properties. And so if you change that paradigm and you stop you stop trying to regulate and fine and
enforce to the and 10%.
Yeah, and basically be in a conflict mm-hmm. with landlords. If you can change that dynamic and really help support them and engage in a conversation, you can start to shift the needle.
Yeah.
So this program has, there have been 550 agencies across the country that have utilized the program. It's in 47 states.
Wow.
And in Canada and the UK. It's been something that's been recognized by the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University as highly innovative. And the reason that it works is because basically everyone is at the table. So local government, the police, district attorneys, sheriffs, deputies, judges, magistrates, obviously landlords, property managers, tenants. You want to get fair housing involved, residents, nonprofit groups, and lawyers. So it sounds like,
wow.
But that's the reason it works, is that everyone has a seat at the table. And we would all say we're in. And so there's a whole I won't go into the minutia of it, but basically everyone signs on to say we are going to invest in training our landlords and supporting a process of training so that they understand what they can do when there is illegal activity on their properties. And you know, you basically have a list of properties that you share amongst this group, and if there is criminal activity, everybody's aware of what it is, and you know you understand the difference between civil and criminal law, and everybody has to get on board with the difference, and that's been the problem to date. And stop me if we're running out of time, but that's really been the problem to date, is that the police see you know they can't evict because it's civil law, and landlords keep saying this is a criminal problem. So, okay,
so
everyone's pointing the finger at each other.
Yeah, and difference in definitions and understandings.
But
yeah.
But once you get everybody around the table and you really understand how we can work together, you know, it's a comprehensive program. So that's kind of what I'm pushing.
Okay, and that sounds like something like the rest of the areas within the Lehigh Valley could take advantage of. And
absolutely. I mean, we could look at it as a pilot, and if it works at a small level, yeah. I mean, we're all faced with the same challenge.
Sure. Well, I know Easton was like the pilot for the Ambassador Program that now exists in South Bethlehem, and you know, so you know, there's a lot we can learn and share within the Lehigh Valley community. That sounds. I'm anxious to hear about that one as it goes forward.
I'll leave this with you. I brought a little presentation.
Yeah. We're winding down. So there's upcoming events. Can you provide us with anything? You said the art walk is, they're still putting that together, building that.
Yes, please,
and
if you can get to, you know.
Is it the Williams Center? Is that where it's at?
For Williams Art Center, yes. Please come down and vote. It's interesting. It's, you know, it's like.
Well, environmental architecture sounds very interesting as well. And so on the horizon, we have the Garlic Fest, we have the Bacon Fest. Of course, we'll
candle
have the
lighting.
Candle lighting in December. Yeah. And we've got the Saturday and Wednesday farmers market.
Yep. Just, you know, go to the website, the city website. Our events are listed there. And then both the farmers market, you can get to that website through the GEDP. If you just Google GEDP and farmers market, and it'll all come up.
Okay, as I recall, is it easton-pa.gov? That's the website.
Yep.
So if you go on that, you're going to be able to link to everything.
Yep.
And if they go on that, can they also reach you,
absolutely,
Dawn, if there's a question about tonight's show or somebody would like to volunteer to participate in anything?
Absolutely. My email address is dferrante, dferrante, at easton-pa.gov.
Okay.
So please contact me. I'm available. I'm open, and you know, I just want to engage.
Yeah, and I know that Dawn is very much out of the box thinking. So if you've got something to share with her, that will help her city. It probably will help all the others as well, because they do share. And we've got a number of very excellent economic development folks in all of our cities. So
all women.
Yay.
Yeah, all women, too, yeah. By the way.
Amazing. Listeners, thank you for joining us tonight. Dawn Easton's Director of Economic and Community Development. I want to thank you for taking the time to do this.
And thank you for what you do. You contribute
to
our region and our communities, so thank you.
You're quite welcome. Quite welcome. I enjoy it just as you do. This wraps up tonight's Lehigh Valley Discourse. Thank you again for joining us. This is Sally Hanlon, your community host on WDIY, Lehigh Valley's NPR station.